Good morning, church. So glad that you are joining us this morning. Something really exciting is happening in our church. We are going through the Word of God. Many of you are in LIFT groups, Life in Fellowship Together groups, and we're reading the Bible in 90 days. I found it just to be awesome to be reading the Word all day long. Well, not all day long, but moments of my day where I'm hearing the Word of God and reading the Word of God and not reading anything else but the Word of God. And it's really spoken to me, and I trust that the Word of God is speaking to you. And if you want more information about that, just give me a call here at the church. Give Stephanie Holst here a call at the church, and we will get you connected to a LIFT group or to a Bible reading plan where you can participate in that with us. But I'm glad you're here this morning at our online service. On Sunday mornings now, I'm going to just be preaching on some selective passages from the Bible that many of us are reading throughout the week. And this week, I'm preaching out of Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 22. So you can turn to your Bibles there. Genesis 28, 10 through 22. It's the story of Jacob when he asked to flee. As we go into God's Word this morning, I really want us to understand this truth about God that sometimes we forget, is that God is with you. God is with you. That statement by the Lord Himself in Genesis 28 reminds me of the story of Corrie ten Boom. Maybe some of you haven't read her book. It's called The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom. But she tells the story of her life in a concentration camp. And in 1944, Corrie and her sister, they found themselves in a concentration camp called Ravensbrück, just outside of Berlin, Germany. And Corrie's sister got very, very sick. Her name is Betsy, and she got very, very sick, and one day she went into the infirmary, and Corrie got to go there, and Corrie says in her book that they placed Betsy on a stretcher on the floor, and Betsy was trying to speak, and Corrie was trying to make out Betsy's words, and this is what Betsy said to Corrie in this concentration camp. Betsy says, "Must tell the people what we have learned here. We must tell them." And she went on to say this. She said, "There is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. There's no pit so deep that God is not deeper still." She went on to say, "They will listen to us, Corrie, because we have been here." You know, what an amazing message to share, that there's no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. That is something we need to know. I've never been in a situation like Corrie and Betsy in a concentration camp, but I have been in dark situations where I have needed to know that there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Perhaps you're in a dark time like this where you need to know that there's no pit that's so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Maybe you need to know that today. Well, this last week, as I said, many of us have read the book of Genesis, and we've read this story about Jacob, how Jacob had to flee from his family. But just to catch us up really quick on what has happened in the book of Genesis, right at the very beginning of Genesis, we learn that God created the heavens and the earth, right? He just spoke and it came to be. Then we learned in Genesis that sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, and they were sent away from the garden, and then we learn that people are multiplied on the earth. We learn that God judged the earth through a flood, and then we learn that God preserved Noah and his family, and we learn that evil increased again and again. Then we read about the Tower of Babel, and then we read about how people rebelled against God, and God sends them into confusion. And then we come to this story in Genesis about Abraham, and in God's mercy, he calls this former idol worshiper, and he calls him and makes him a promise to give him, to bless him and to give him a land and to give him this large family. You know, one thing that we learn here in the book of Genesis and really throughout the Bible is that God is faithful and he makes a promise and he keeps his promise, and he also uses broken and messed up people. And so if you are broken and messed up, you know what? There is room for you in the church. If you are broken and sinful, there is room for you in the family of God, because God loves to take broken, deceitful, sinful people, and he loves to restore their lives. And I'm a recipient of that restoration, and I'm praying you are too. And so God does this in the book of Genesis. And so then we come to this story about Jacob. And Jacob has so many family problems. If you remember from your reading, as many of you are reading this, you remember that Isaac is the father of Jacob and Rebekah is the mother of Jacob. And their marriage, Isaac and Rebekah, wasn't very good. Like some of our marriages, I think we can identify there was a lack of communication in this marriage. And there was, they weren't always in agreement. And so that's kind of where we pick up this story here in Genesis chapter 8, 10 through 22. But kind of the big idea that I want us to know is that God's promise of his presence gives us hope and strength during the darkest hours of our life. Let me say that again, that God's promise of his presence gives hope and strength during the darkest hours of our life. Let me read for us the scripture this morning, Genesis 28, 10 through 22. It reads like this. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All the people on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took a stone he had placed under his head, and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all of that you give me, I will give you a tenth. I just want to walk through some of these verses here this morning. And again, I want us to see this big idea here in this passage is that God's promise of his presence gives us hope and strength during the darkest hours of our life. I hope that you will see that here in the Word of God, and I hope that you will experience that in your life. The first thing here in the first couple of verses, 10 through 11, is that God is present in the darkest hours of our pain. Verses 10, 11, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and he laid down to sleep. Now, what's going on here in this passage? One of the things I want us to remember is that this place where he reached for the night was around the same area where God spoke to Abraham, his grandfather, and promised him to bless him. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, we read this: "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and curse whoever curses you, and all the people on the earth will be blessed through you.'" See, God made this covenant with Abraham. He made this covenant that included a land. "I'm going to give you all this land. I'm going to give you a seed, offspring, family, and I'm going to make you to be a blessing. I'm going to bless you in these ways." And really, friends, when we track the whole Bible, the whole Scripture, it's all about God's promise to bless His people. That's really what this is all about: God keeping His covenant. God does not break His promise. I want you to know that today. So there's this huge problem that Jacob is in that brought him to this certain place. He's got major family problems. If you've got major family problems or any kind of problem, you can relate to this. You see, as I said at the beginning, Jacob's family was messed up. His parents didn't always communicate. There was favoritism in the family. His mom, Rebecca, loved him more than his dad did. His dad, Isaac, loved his other son, Esau, more than he loved him. There was favoritism. Rachel concocted a plan to deceive Isaac on giving Jacob a blessing. A blessing from a father was really important back then. Isaac, the father, was going to bless the older son Esau, as was the custom in their day. But Rachel said, "You know what? No, Jacob, I love him. Jacob needs to receive this blessing." And as I said, Rebecca came up with this plan to deceive Isaac into giving Jacob this blessing. So this was all deception and trickery going on. And so Isaac does give the blessing to Jacob when he meant it for Esau. And because of this, Esau, the older brother, gets very angry. I mean, of course, if you find out that your younger brother got blessed when you should have got blessed, you'd probably be angry too. And so Esau gets very angry, and he wants to kill Jacob. And this is where we pick up the story. Jacob has to run for his life, and he leaves Beersheba, and he's on the run. And he's homeless at this point, and his heart is heavy. There's so many things on his mind. I think sometimes we forget when we read these words, you know, they're just black and white letters here on this paper. And we forget that these words were actually people with real emotions. Jacob, as he walks through the night, as he's having to flee for his life, I'm sure there were a lot of things on his mind. He didn't have a phone or Facebook to go to drown out all those emotions. It was just him alone and with God Almighty there, who I'm not convinced he was even walking with God at this point. But he's got to think about all these things. I'm sure there was some feelings of shame, like, you know what, I was a part of this trick that my mom pulled on my dad, and my twin brother Esau hates me, and now my father, maybe he hates me too, and now I hope my mom's going to be okay. He's got all these thoughts running through his head. Man, my family is so messed up. And verse 11 says, he reaches this certain place as he walked. That place is unnamed at this time. We're going to find out what that place is called. But right now, in verse 11, we don't know this place. This place, what we come to find out is Bethel. If you were to go there today or look at pictures on the internet of this place, there's nothing there. It's this dry and barren place. And so there he is out in the wilderness, just him alone with all of his questions and emotions. Have you ever been in that kind of a place? Dry and barren place, emotionally, physically exhausted. He laid himself down for the night under the very same stars that God promised Abraham where his descendants would be like that. He lays his head down there feeling very lonely, far from home, far from the comfort of his mother, far from friends, and feeling this deep aloneness. Have you felt that before? Have you been in that kind of place before? But here's the thing, friends. Though he felt so alone, we're going to see here a powerful moment. Though he was alone, the Lord was with him in a powerful way. The Lord was with him in a powerful way. And what we see all throughout Scripture, friends, all throughout these pages of Scripture and experiences of men and women who have followed God, is that God is closest to us, sometimes in our darkest hours. None of us enjoy difficulty and pain and things like that, but God is with us sometimes in our darkest hours. In our darkest hours, He's there. Now, I want you to see something in verse 11 here in the Scripture. I want to point this out. In the King James Version of this verse 11, I highlighted three words that repeat themselves. Anytime the Word of God repeats itself, we've got to pay attention. And it says, He lighted upon a certain place. It means He came upon a certain place. And He tarried there all night because the sun was set. And He took off the stone. And he took the stone of that place and put them for His pillows. And He lay down in that place to sleep. He took a stone for a pillow. Man, what a hard place to sleep. He's in a really hard place. But I want us to notice that word that's repeated. It's the word place. Like I said earlier, it's this unnamed place at the time. It seems to be a random place where He stopped. Emotionally, He's not in a good place. Physically, He's tired. He's not in a good place. But you know what is significant? What happens here is that place is going to become a place of worship. It's going to be a place where He experiences the blessing of God and the presence of God. And I know right now, for many of us, you're not in a good place. But I want you to know, because Scripture tells us that God shows up in hard places of our lives. James chapter 1, verse 12 from the Passion Translation reminds us of this. If your faith remains strong, even while surrounded by life's difficulties, you will continue to experience the untold blessings of God. True happiness comes as you pass the test with faith and receive the victorious crown of life promised to every lover of God. I want you to know, if you are in a really hard place right now, God will show up. God will show up and He will transform that hard place, that rock, into a place of worship where you will see the blessing of God. If your faith remains strong in Him, you'll see the blessing of God. And so God does that in Jacob's life. The second thing I want to show us here is that God's presence in our darkest hours brings strength and hope. He really does. He has this dream here in verses 12 through 15. It says that in his dream, he had a dream about this stairway that was resting on earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and He said, I'm the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. See, it's this blessing that He gave to his father Isaac, and, and Abraham. And now this blessing God is saying is going to be carried out through you, Jacob. Right there in his darkest moment, God is there bringing him hope. I mean, it seemed like a hopeless situation, but God is there. You know, he has this dream about this stairway, and God oftentimes, we read in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, about dreams and visions, people having these dreams that the Lord is speaking to them. That still happens today. I remember when I was a missionary in Malawi, many of my Bible school students would tell me about how they received the Lord and how the Lord showed up to them in a dream. The presence of the Lord showed up to them and the Lord spoke to them and they came to salvation through the Lord showing up to them in that dream. And this is what's happening here, this dream that he has. The presence of the Lord shows up and it talks about this ladder or this stairway. In some translations it says it's, the ladder was set up on earth and the top reached the heaven. And did you notice who was at the top of the ladder in his dream? It was the Lord. The Lord was there. And angels are going up and down the ladder. And when I read this, I think, this is weird. Angels going up and down a ladder. I mean, it just seems kind of mysterious. I just envision angels with wings and they're like, it's just weird. Like, what in the world are these angels doing? Anyways, what do angels do? You know, oftentimes some people say after you explaining about an incident you had, they'll say, wow, you really had guardian angels watching after you. That's exactly what angels do. They care for you. They minister to you. Hebrews 1, verse 14, it says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? And so in this dream, these angels are there and they're ministering to Jacob. And God, the Lord, is at the top of this ladder and He's directing these angels and they're ministering to Jacob in this darkest hour of his life. And I want you to know, friend, that God, His presence, He's trying to make His presence aware to you and He wants to minister to you. And so God is there. He's working. God is working. He's at the top and He's working. God is here. I want you to lean over to whoever you're watching this with and just remind each other, God is here. You're not alone. You see, Jacob might have walked alone on this journey and he might have arrived alone on this journey. And he might have even slept alone. We don't get any indication that anyone is with him. But God is there. He is not alone. He's far from home, but heaven is so near. In fact, he's so near. Verse 13 says, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. You see, God is there and He's not just silent. He assures him that He is with him and He is God. He's the God of your family. He's with you. He's with you and He has a plan and purpose, and it's to bless Jacob. It's to give him strength. It's to give him hope. Now, you know what's even more important, though? I mean, the blessing that he wants to give Jacob. You know what? That's great and that's amazing. But you know what's even more important, friends? It's right here. I want you to see this. I want you to underline this. Because it's something that I need to know all the time. I think it's something that you need to know. Verse 15, it says, what's more? Talking about, yeah, I'm going to bless you, but you know what's more important? God says, I am with you. And I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything that I have promised you. God assures Jacob with what he really needs to know. I am with you. I am with you. Would you hear those words again? I am with you. You know, through some really dark times, painful times, I think there's a lot of things that we would love to hear. I think in this moment, there's a lot of things Jacob would love to hear. Maybe he would love to hear, you know what, you can go back home, your brother Esau, he's not mad anymore, you know, he's kind of cooled down. Or, you know what, your father still loves you, and your mom, she misses you. Or, you know what, it's going to be better in Haran when you get to your uncle Laban's house. Everything is going to work out. I mean, wouldn't he just love to hear that? And sometimes we want to hear those things, but what God really wants you to hear and what we all really need to know sometimes during those moments are not all those things. It's these simple words. I am with you. And I will protect you wherever you go. That's the message that we need to hear. That's the message that he told Moses when God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of slavery. He told Moses, he said, I will be with you. I will help you. Moses said, well, I'm not a really, good speaker. I stutter when I speak and I'm not good at... No, I will help you. I will be with you. I mean, that's the same promise that David wrote, this shepherd boy wrote about in Psalm 23 that might be so familiar to you. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me, and for you are with me. David knew that God was with him even in the valley of the shadow of death. I am with you. It's the same promise that Jesus gave to his disciples and that we read today in Matthew chapter 28. He said, I am with you. Surely I am with you even to the very end of this age. We need to know that, friends, that he is with us. And that's the assurance that God is giving Jacob. And that's the assurance that God is giving you today, that he is with you, he is with us, even in the darkest hours of our day. That is a promise. You're a beloved child of God, and God is with you, he's for you. The third thing this morning is that God's presence causes worship. At least that should be our response. In verses 16 to 22, it says, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying to God, if God be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God and the stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all of that you give me, I will give you a tenth. The first thing I want us to see here is that Jacob recognizes that God was with him in that place, in that really hard place, but he wasn't aware of it. You know, the truth is that God is what we call omnipresent. He's with us always. His presence is with us always. But Jacob didn't know it. And I think I would be lying if I said I always knew, I always know. I mean, I know in my head that God is always with me, but I don't always feel it. And I think I'd be lying if I said otherwise. Sometimes we are like Jacob, and we are just totally unaware. I don't know why Jacob didn't realize God's presence there. And sometimes I don't realize God's presence. Maybe we don't realize God's presence because maybe we let the worries of this life crowd out the presence of God. Maybe we let the worries of this life just overcome us and we can't see where God is with us. But Jacob notices. He does notice, finally. And in verse 17, it says this. I want us to notice his response. It says that he was afraid. And he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. I love it the way Eugene Peterson puts it in the Message. It says, he was terrified. He whispered in awe. Incredible. Wonderful. Holy. This is God's house. This is the gate of heaven. He's saying, I didn't know God was there. But he's here. This is amazing. You know, one person said, God was not there because the place was holy. The place was holy because God was there. And this realization that Jacob had that God was there made him tremble, made him feel fear. Now there's two kinds of fear that we can feel. We can, when God's presence reveals, when God reveals himself to us, we can feel this fear that causes us to run away and say, you know what? I don't want anything to do with God. I enjoy perhaps my sin more than I want to know God. And we just run from God. And some of us have been doing that for a long time. But then there's also this kind of fear that can come over us where we realize with Jacob, how awesome is God? I thought I was alone. This is the darkest hour of my life, but God shows up. How awesome is this place? And it's this kind of fear that draws us near God, not from God. I remember when we were serving as missionaries in Africa, and my family and I, we took a road trip to Zambia, and we visited Victoria Falls. If you've never seen it, it's truly amazing. But I'd never been there. My wife had been there once before. And as we got close to the falls, as we were driving and got close, I immediately thought there was a fire, like a wildland fire. I saw what I thought was smoke in the air. And I said to my wife, there's a fire. We're driving into a fire. And she said, no. That's Victoria Falls. That's the spray. That's the mist that you are seeing in the sky from the falls. And I thought, oh my God, He created this power that I see. And I began to just see God in a whole new way. And it led me to the worship of God. That God, you created this, like this amazing power in this waterfall. And I thought it was one thing, but it's really the water. And how awesome is this place where He revealed Himself to me? That's what's happening here. Something great happened to Jacob. He encountered God in this powerful way, and it moved him to devote his life to God. Early the next morning, he took that stone that he had placed under his head, that stone that was so hard, that was a rock, had become a place of worship. He poured oil on top of it and he set it apart for God, and he called that place Bethel, the house of God. I think that's very significant, friends, that these really hard times in our lives, if we stop for a moment and reach out to God, those hard places can be moments where God transformed those places and it becomes a place of worship, exactly what happened to Jacob. I know that some of you, I've had conversations this last week, some of you, you're in some hard places. God wants to meet you there. And He wants to show up in a big way and reveal Himself to you. You know, what Jacob is experiencing reminds me of a hymn that we used to sing when I was a kid, and we're hopefully we'll sing it here one day. It says this, oh, what a wonderful day, a day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. That's exactly what happened to Jacob. Friends, we are going to go into a time of communion where we celebrate Jesus and His presence coming down to earth. You see, in the Old Testament, and what Jacob experienced was God in that place. In the Old Testament, we read about how the presence of God was tied to a place. It was tied to this place, Bethel. It was tied to the tabernacle in the Old Testament. It was tied to a temple. But the good news is this, that God is with us. And with the coming of Jesus, God came to us in the form of man, Jesus, and His presence came down to earth. I'm reminded of a passage of Scripture in John chapter 1. This story, you can read it in 43 through 50, where Jesus calls His disciples, and there's this conversation with Nathanael. And Nathanael says, "Jesus, how did you see me? When did you see? How did you know I was here?" And Jesus says, "You know what? You're going to even see greater things than this. You are going to see heaven, angels descending and ascending on the Son of Man." You see, God sent His Son, Jesus, to be this bridge to heaven. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the gate." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way to God. I am the way to heaven." You know how God was at the top? Jesus says of that ladder in Jacob's dream, Jesus says, "I am the way to the Father. And anyone who accepts me and follows me will know the way to heaven, because I am that way." I'm thanking God this morning as we come before God. I'm recognizing that God is with us, and He is present in our darkest hours. And in our darkest hour, He sent His Son Jesus to be the way, to be that bridge. And when He met with His disciples in this upper room at Passover, He took bread, different than I'm holding in my hand right now, and He gave it to His disciples. And He said, "Eat this in remembrance of me." I think about this again. When I go to the cross to become that bridge to heaven, so that you may know eternal life, remember me in the sacrifice that I made on the cross for you. He said, "Take and eat this and remember me." After supper, He took a cup. And after giving thanks, He held the cup up. And He said, "This cup represents a new covenant where you can experience the presence of God, the Holy Spirit living in you. Not just tied to a place or a location, but you can actually experience the presence of God living in you and speaking to you." And He said, "This is the new covenant. I'm making a way for that to happen. I'm giving my body, and now I'm shedding my blood on the cross for you for that, and for the forgiveness of your sins. And so you can spend eternity in heaven, so you can know peace, love, and joy, and forgiveness here and now, and know my presence in a powerful way." And He gave the cup to His disciples. And He said, "Drink in remembrance of me." Would you pray with me this morning? Lord God, I thank You for Your presence. I thank You for Your presence that showed up to Jacob in a powerful way. Once he wasn't walking with You, maybe his family walked with You, but he wasn't. but the gates of heaven opened up and He experienced you in a powerful way. He began to follow you and the course of history has changed. And God, the course of history can be changed for some of us right now who are not walking with the Lord. We can accept you into our lives as the Lord, the Master of our lives. And we can begin to walk in a whole new way. God, I pray for our church today that as we continue to read your word, God, that you would continue to show up to us. And that you would remind us of how you want to give us hope and strength. And how you do give us that. God, thank you for this truth that you are always with us. For that is what we need. Out of everything in this world, and out of everything that is going on, we need to be assured that you are with us. Thank you for your truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, I love you. Go today in the knowledge and the power and strength and hope that God is with you. We'll see you next week.